Now this morning, I'm going to share a message with you, and it's a very unusual title. Usually titles are for nothing more than the preacher, or maybe the people who edit the messages and file them, but today you really need to listen to this one, and it may take you a moment. In fact, I think that I will repeat this message at least twice this morning. Here's the title of my message today: Be a Monkey and Live. I'm going to repeat that because someone asked me this week, said, "What are you preaching on?" And I gave them the title. Actually, it was a preacher friend of mine, and the phone went dead on the other end. Be a Monkey and Live. Now, I'm going to really be talking about guarding your heart. How many of you know that we are living in some very different times than I personally have ever seen in my life? And everything imaginable is coming at me and you continually, constantly, every day. And by the way, not everything that's coming our way is good for us. Do you understand that today? I think you know that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation a great deal today. It says this: "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The word here that was used in the original language for guard means to protect, as a soldier would protect a city. The writer of Proverbs is saying, guard your heart, be like a soldier, be vigilant, be on guard, be alert and be awake all the time. The word for heart here has to do with the feelings. It has to do with the will and even the intellect. The actual Hebrew word there means the center. We are to guard the center of who we are with all diligence. Now, the reason that we are to do this and the reason that it is so important to guard our hearts is because what we allow into our hearts is what's going to come out. Did you notice what he said in verse 23 of chapter 4 in Proverbs? He said, the course of our life comes from the heart. The course of our life, the direction of our lives. And what comes out of our hearts, listen to me, dear ones, will either bless our lives or it will contaminate our lives. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Did you hear that? We hear speech every day all around us. We hear it in different mediums. We hear it in different circles that we're in. And let me tell you, if you listen carefully, let me just tell you, you are hearing the heart. You are hearing the center. You are hearing the will and the intellect. You are hearing what fills our own heart and what fills the people's hearts all around us. Now, I want to read something to you. And I almost, after I read it, I said, thank you, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, I want to read some words to you that I consider are pretty strong words that Jesus spoke to His disciples in Matthew chapter 12. Actually, most of them were not His disciples at this point, these folks that He's speaking to. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35 says this: "You brood of snakes." How would you like it if I stood up in church today and said, "You brood of snakes"? Boy, I tell you, you'd come back next week, wouldn't you? He says, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Listen to verse 35. He says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and the evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Think about that. Now, what I want to do today is I want to use the illustration of the three wise monkeys today. Let me introduce them, and I'm going to ask our camera person to make sure that they stay on the screen here. I want to introduce them now. Our first wise monkey today, if we can bring that up, is see no evil. How many of you see this? How many of you have seen the three wise monkeys before? Can you see it okay? See no evil. Then the next wise monkey is hear no evil. And then the next one is speak no evil. Now, some of you, when you've seen this in the past, you didn't know that these monkeys were considered wise. They are. As an illustration today, I want to show you why these three monkeys are considered wise. Now you somewhat understand the title of my message today, Be a Monkey and Live. Well, I can tell you're in deep thought today. You need to be in deep thought today, because what you see and what we hear and what we speak affects our lives for good or for bad. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about what we're seeing and what we're hearing and what we're speaking. And so first, I want to talk about today, seeing no evil. How many of you have ever seen these three wise monkeys? I want to talk to you for a moment about seeing no evil. Now, here's what Job said in Job 31:1. He said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Now, beloved, listen to me today. What a wonderful thing to do is make a covenant with our eyes. And there are a lot of things that we can covet. There are a lot of things that we see on a daily basis that probably are not good for us. Some of it is. Some of it, you know, when we were coming to church today, the pretty wildflowers that are out and the beautiful sunshine and the clear sky, that's a good thing to see. But can we be real today and say not everything we see on a daily basis is a good thing? Now, Job had a particular area in which he coveted. He said this, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. If looking at young women in the wrong way is a problem for you guys, I'd say you need to be like Job and make a covenant with your eyes. Matthew 13:6 says this, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, I want to be very clear today. When you and I are children of God, we have the ability to see good things. I don't want you to go away saying, hey, everything is bad. Everything we see is not good. You and I, as spiritual beings, children of God, have the ability to see good things. Can we say amen to that? Now, we do have a problem, though. And it's what I call double vision. And this problem that we have began in the Garden of Eden with our great-great-great-grandpa, Adam. How many of you remember the story that Adam and Eve were in the garden, and one day Satan came to Eve and said, I want you to take this fruit. And by the way, it was not an apple. It was from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And he said, in the day that you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. You'll see good and evil. Prior to that time, Adam and Eve did not have the ability to see and understand and experience evil. But because Adam and Eve disobeyed God, all of us now have what I call double vision. Now, you may want to go back and read this in Genesis 3:5-7 and read where it talks about how that their eyes were opened. But I want to make sure that you also understand we have the ability to see the things of God. I hear it too often. People say, you know, I can't hear God. I can't seem to see God. But I want you to know when you are born of God's Spirit and the Spirit of God comes into your life, you have the ability to see and to hear and even to speak the things of God. Now, Isaiah said this in Isaiah 6:5. Isaiah had an experience with God one day. In fact, he was understanding things had changed in the world. But he had this to say. He said, behold, I now see the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm going to elaborate on these points a little more at the end of the message today. But we need to make sure that we understand that seeing evil can be bad for us and can contaminate our souls and really keep us from experiencing everything that God has for us. But then number two, we need to talk about hearing no evil. And by the way, all this will come together at the end of the message. The Bible often says this. It says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Come on again. What I want you to see today is your ability to see spiritual things. I want you to see your ability to hear spiritual things from God. But here for a moment, let's talk about hearing no evil, because the Bible does address this issue. The problem today is that you and I hear hundreds of negative words every day that are not good for us. Are we aware of this? Let's don't become so accustomed to the world and the environment around us that we just kind of melt into it and don't think anything about what's going on around us. We've got to guard against seeing evil. We've got to do like Job. We've got to make a covenant with our eyes. But we also need to understand first that we have the ability to hear good things from God and hear spiritual things and hear God's word. But because we have that double vision and double hearing, we hear things that are not good for us. Here's what Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says. It says, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear." Every day we need to take heed what we hear. For he says, "With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." Now this verse reveals to you and me the importance of hearing right words. And really, when we hear God's words, and then when we act on God's word, you know what he says? He says, to you who hear, even what you have, there's going to be an addition to it. But Scripture also says to him who does not have ears to hear, even what he has, if we start hearing the wrong things and we start saying, hey, it's not important and it doesn't matter what I hear, I just can hear anything and life will be just fine. Let me tell you, he says, even then what you have will be taken from you. Oh, let him who has ears to hear, and we need to pay close attention to what we hear. Here's what Proverbs 18 says. It says, death and life are in words. Messed my page up there. How many of you know that? That death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen? So thirdly, let's talk about speaking no evil. Did you know that words are so powerful, whether they are spoken or whether they are heard, that God says man shall give an account of every idle word that is spoken? Think about it. Well, this encourages me, and I've just got to tell you, I don't speak right words every day. I don't say things right all the time, but I'll tell you, I'm working on it because I understand. I realize the words that I speak can either speak life or they can either speak death to the people around me. And so, therefore, I understand that we need to guard our words. Here's what Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37 says. He says, "I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." Wow, how many of you are hearing that? Now, come on, this is not a down message. This is not a, hey, you people are bad. You can amen occasionally. And that's the reason I'm speaking this message to you today. So we'll once again be on guard about what we see. And we'll be on guard about what we hear. And we'll be on guard about what we say. Boy, this message must be needed. You're too quiet. Somebody needs to stand up and shake a hanky or do something and say, "Preach it, brother." See, when you get too quiet, you scare me. This is the reason that we need to be very careful what we hear. Listen to this and what we say. Proverbs 10 and 19 says this. Now, come on, everybody. Come on, society, listen to me. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible. I didn't say this. And keep your mouth shut, says the Scripture. That was so weak. Come on, brother. Thank you. Yeah! Proverbs 17 and 27 says this, "A truly wise person uses few words." I'm preaching to myself, and I don't know if I'm preaching to you or not. Oh, only God knew. You know, it's just kind of our nature to just speak a lot and just speak. And we don't think about what we're speaking. Is this true? I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, listen, come on, everybody. This is opposite of what our society is doing. It says, "Do not use foul or abusive language." Are you hearing me? Man, I'm not sure what to preach or how to preach this today. Somebody said, just get it. Listen, I want to tell you folks, listen, society today doesn't think anything about using foul language. And let me just tell you, Sometimes Christians don't think a thing about using foul language. I'm going to go ahead and preach today. You know those little cute jokes, guys, that you're always telling, or maybe you're telling and you think it's really funny? Let me tell you, the Bible says it is foul speech. I'm going to tell you, recently we were at a national prayer meeting. And we get through this national prayer meeting, and we walk out to the back of the prayer area, and I, to my shock, and I think I shared this recently because it shocked me so bad, a preacher pulled alongside me, and he came up and he made this terrible joke about some of our national leaders that we had just prayed for. I mean, some awful racist jokes, and just busted out laughing and said, he said, "I'm sure you're going to tell that from the pulpit." I said, "I'm not going to utter that thing again." Folks, you understand that there is death and life in what I preach and what I say and what you preach and what you say and what you do. I'm just going to camp out on this one a while. I thought this was kind of the main point today that I needed to spend a little time on. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. Listen to me, believer. He says, let everything you say be good and helpful. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they just start saying things? You say, "Brother, I don't need that. I don't want to hear that." And they just keep on going. "No, you need to hear this. I want you to hear this. No, I don't need to hear it, brother. Time out. Let's stop." It needs to be good and helpful. Am I the only one that is sensing the tearing down that's happening to our society and on media and everywhere else by the words that are being spoken? I mean, now you can't even watch a primetime television program because they wear the bleep button out. I mean, we got to be careful what we hear, but more than what we hear, we've got to be careful what we speak. He says this, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Believers, we need to be building each other up a great deal today. We don't need to be joining in and just saying, "Hey, you know, it's no big deal." Yeah, it is a big deal. Because what I see and what I hear and what I speak really does mean a great deal. Amen? It really does. And I'm going to get on the positive side of this in just a moment, but I can tell I just need to meddle just a little bit here and let us be reminded how important it is that we not go the way of society. Folks, let me just tell you today, if you're going to be a believer and you're going to march with Jesus Christ and you're going to be in His army, let me tell you, you're going to experience opposition. You're going to experience warfare. You're going to experience tribulation because, let me tell you, this world is going the opposite of Jesus Christ and His Word. And let me tell you, you're going to feel like you're alone at times. Because the world's not speaking right. The world is speaking death and laughing. The world is spewing all kinds of foul language in the name of comedy and in the name of sitcoms. And they're tearing down our society as we go. Maybe I ought to move on just a little bit this morning. Why is it so important that we guard our hearts? Begin because Proverbs 4:23 says, because the course of our life comes from our hearts. The direction of my life, the course and the pathway comes from my heart. If I don't guard my heart, if I just let everything come in through the eye gate and through the ear gate and through what people say to me and what I say, let me tell you, my course could get off. It could happen. And I want to stay on target with God. What did He say in Proverbs 4:23? He said, above all else, we must guard our hearts. Do you hear what He's saying in the book of practicality? Guard your hearts above all else. There's nothing else more important than guarding your hearts. And that's the reason, beloved, we need to be like the three wise monkeys. Hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Now let me be real with you for just a moment. It is unrealistic to believe that we can live in this world and not experience these evils that I've talked about? Wouldn't that be a little unrealistic? What can you and I do to protect our hearts? There is an answer and there is a solution today. What can we do to protect our hearts? Well, number one, we must see the Word. Now here's what Psalms 119 and verse 18 says. He said this, and this is David praying. And I want to encourage you, every time you know you're going to be reading the Word, you're going to be around the Word, you're going to be studying the Word, do what David did. This is one of my habits that I've done for years. You need to ask God, say, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. Folks, pray. Whenever you're going to read the Word, pray whenever you know you're going to come to church and you're going to hear a sermon or a message, or you're going to be in a small group somewhere. Pray that God would open your eyes that you may see and understand His instructions. I want to encourage you to do that. When I sit down on a daily basis, listen, what I'm saying now, I'm not trying to make myself anything special. It's just something that I've learned to do. Before I read my Bible, before I check my emails, before I check my text or anything else, I hold God's Word up when I'm reading and I say, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see what is in this Word. Because I know that I need instruction. I know that I need help in understanding what God has to say about life. Folks, let me just tell you, we're going to combat the evil that is all around us every day. We are going to have not less, but larger doses of God's Word and God's truth that we understand in order to combat these evils. Have you noticed that the world is not getting any better around us? I'm going to use an old-fashioned saying. You folks are staring at me like a calf staring at a new gate. We've got to ask God to help us see His Word. And folks, listen, you're not alone when it comes to seeing God's Word. The Holy Spirit has come to help you and to assist you see and understand God's Word. Just pray, Holy Spirit, help me. How many of you know He is referred to as the great teacher? The Holy Spirit is your teacher, and He will teach you truth. The Bible says He will guide you into all truth. So when you're going to be around the Word, when you're going to be studying the Word, make sure that you ask God to open your eyes that you can understand His instructions. And let me just say this, beloved, be patient with yourself. Learning the Word of God and learning God's truths and principles, it doesn't come overnight. I know some of you want to know, you want to sit down and in 1 year you want to fully understand the Word of God, but you've got to be patient. And you've got to make this a habit and a lifestyle. And when you do that, you will begin to understand God's Word like you've never understood it before. But it takes years sometimes to understand everything about God. Maybe you're saying, well, that's good and great, Pastor, but I need to understand some things about God right now. God will give you what you need. John chapter 10 verse 4 says that you have the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. And you, by way of God's Spirit in you, can hear God's voice on a daily basis. Amen? My sheep hear my voice. And so, when you're going to be around the Word of God and you're going to read the Word, you need to ask God to open your eyes, that you may see. In fact, one version says the wonderful things hidden in your Word. Number two, if you're going to overcome these evils, you must hear the Word. You must hear the Word. Here's what Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27 says. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. Listen now. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You hear what he said? When we hear God's Word and then we obey it, guess what? We're building a strong house. We're building on a strong foundation. So what do we need? We need heavy doses of God's Word to combat the evil around us. Now, folks, let me encourage you. I know the demands that life is putting on people. Let me encourage you. Make sure that you establish a time in which you meet with God, that you have a devotional time with God where you sit down and you study the Word, or however you do it, if you listen to the Word, whatever you do, make sure that you have a consistent devotional time with God. Are you hearing me today? You need that. Don't tell me you can't do it. Just say, by God's grace and determining and making a decision, I'm going to do that. How many of you know you not only need a devotional time where you personally hear from God and you ask God to open up His Word to you? How many of you know you need some shepherd time? Come on, everybody. You need a shepherd who speaks, who prays. Let me tell you, I prayed, and this is the Word God wants me to speak to you today. We need to hear it. You need some shepherd time. And then you need some friend time where your friends are speaking the Word to us. Friends, listen to me. When we're around each other, let's speak the Word of God. Let's speak edifying words to one another. Because we need it. And by doing this, we are going to overcome the evil that we hear. Here's what Romans 10 and 17 says. It says, so faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. We need a lot of the Word coming in. We need devotional time. We need preaching time. By the way, how many of you know in America, you can turn on the TV, and I mean you can find more preachers preaching the Word of God than any other country in the world. The negative of that is sometimes we say, I don't need any preaching. I can get preaching anytime I want it. Consider it a blessing that we can do that. And utilize that. So folks, in order to overcome this evil, we've got to have heavy doses of the Word. And then thirdly, and how many of you see how I'm trying to combat this hearing and this seeing and this speaking thing that's in our society? You must speak the Word. And I'm just going to be honest with you, speaking the Word is not always the easiest thing for me to do when I'm in the midst of a trial. I mean, everything in with me wants to talk about the problem, wants to talk about the situation, wants to speak that. But how many of you know we've got to counteract the evil that is all around us by speaking the Word? Here's what Mark 11 and verses 22 through 23 say. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. See, if I don't know the Word, if I'm not hearing the Word, if I'm not understanding the Word, guess what? I'm not going to speak it in the midst of a problem. We've got to speak the Word. This is how we counteract the evil that is all around us with all this negative stuff that's coming our way. We've got to speak the Word every day. Amen? What did Jesus do when He was in His moment of temptation? What did Jesus do in chapter 4? When Satan came to Jesus to tempt Him and to entice Him with things that he didn't need in his life. Anybody ever have things come your way that you don't need in your life? Anybody? What did Jesus say? Here's what he said in Matthew 4 when he was tempted. He said, no, Satan, the Scripture says, and on every occasion when Satan came to make an appeal to his life and to his flesh and to the things that he could see, what did Jesus say? No, the Scripture says, and then he would quote appropriate Scripture. Folks, I know it's unrealistic to think today that we're not going to be around evil. It's everywhere. And I wish that I could tell you it was going to get better and better as far as humanity goes. I'm beginning to realize that we must be in those days in which Jesus said when the character of man would deteriorate. He said people would forsake one another's. They'll be truce breakers. They'll love themselves more than God. They'll love pleasure more than God. They'll love money more than God. And we're seeing that in our world today. But what does God want us to do in the midst of all this evil? He wants us to understand that we can see. That we can see truth. And we can see what God says when all this stuff is coming to us. See, we don't have to go around with blinders on our eyes in a physical sense. We go around with blinders on our eyes because the Spirit of God raises up in us and says, we're not going to see that. I'm going to anoint your eyes and I'm going to give you the ability to see the things of God and not see the evil. Here's what I've found about God. You and I can't protect ourselves every day of the things that are around us, but God can. God can grace us. And some of you may be hearing this and saying, preacher, I hear you, but I find myself in situations that I have to be in and I can't control. Let me tell you, beloved, the grace of God is with you. The grace of God is on you. And He will anoint your eyes to see an answer and to see a solution in this world that's going the other way. You know what God's going to do when He says, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says? You know what God's going to do today? God is going to anoint His children's ears with the ability to hear what we need to hear. Amen? Now I'm talking about your spiritual ears. You've heard me make reference now that I've reached that age, and not my wife, of course, but we no longer can hear each other through walls. You know, when you're young, you can say something through a wall and say, yeah, sure, no problem, dear. Now it's a lot of, huh? What? Huh? What? You said that? That's what you said? I thought you said. Some of you got a few years on, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are younger, like. I'm telling you, folks, there is an anointing for God's people in this hour to see right things, to see good things. But it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time with Jesus. And folks, here's another promise I'll make with you. When you spend quality time with Jesus and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you and you let the Holy Spirit encourage you, let me just tell you, God will make up for any other time that you feel like you've lost. Now see, today people kind of get frustrated when you tell them you need to spend more time with God. And you can hear them in their hearts screaming at you like, you don't understand my life. Well, maybe I don't understand everything about your life, but I understand some things about God. And when you put God first, when you seek God's kingdom first and you put Him first, He has a way of multiplying your time. I mean, He has a way of multiplying your business. He has a way of multiplying whatever needs to be multiplied. He's still multiplying things, folks. You remember, He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. God is still in the multiplying business. But the problem is, sometimes we think, I got to go multiply. I got to go do this. And there is something to be said for that. And we just run and we run and we run and we run. And one day we wake up and we've allowed our heart to be filled with things that are not good for us. And we're off course. So God says, guard your heart like a soldier would guard a city. Guard it. Come on, beloved. Watch carefully what you're tuning into. You know, when you're tuning into something, God will first, He'll let you know, this isn't good. You sense that little grief in your heart. You sense that little thing saying, come on, you need to turn the channel. Maybe you turn the channel. You say, well, let me go back and see if God's still saying the same thing. He's still saying the same thing. Folks, listen, we need to listen to the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God will let us know when we're seeing things and when we're hearing things and things are being spoken to us that are not good for us. You know, I'm thankful that I can tune in and see things that are going on all around the world, but I'm trying to learn to just say, man, this isn't good. I'll never forget one time when God spoke to me and He said, the problem with my people is that they try to be God. The negative of access to the entire world through the internet, through television, through whatever today is that you and I don't have the shoulders that God has. See, we're trying to keep up with the government here in America and the governments around the world, what's going on there, the economies, and the whole world. And we're going around a lot of times depressed and grieved because we're all upset about what's going on in the world. And God says, hey, just let me take care of it. Folks, God can handle world events. He can take care of what's going on in Libya. He can take care of what's going on in Japan. He can take care of what's going on in America. But you and I don't have that ability. We need to guard our hearts regarding those things we're seeing and those things we're hearing, those things that are being spoken to us. Because God needs us. And God needs us to be speaking right things in a wrong world. Can I pray with you this morning as you stand? Lord, this morning, I just want to pray that, Lord, I know this is kind of a humorous title, but Lord, make us like these three wise monkeys. And Lord, I know the only way that that is going to happen is when you anoint our eyes and when you anoint our ears and you anoint our words, Lord. Well, that's the only way we can guard our heart like a soldier would guard a city. And so, Father, we want to do that because we know that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Lord, we want our course to be the course that you have for us. And so, God, I pray now, anoint your people. How many of you just want a fresh anointing on your eyes? How many of you this morning would just right now, by the help of the Holy Spirit, would make a decision like Job did to make a covenant with your eyes? Job made a covenant with his eyes. What is it that you need to make a covenant with? God will help you, beloved. God wants to anoint us to see right things and have the ability when things are coming our way to say no to it and to hear and to speak. How many of you say, God, I'll just take a fresh anointing to be able to speak right things? I take a fresh anointing. Come on, let's just receive from God this morning fresh anointing to speak when temptation comes and to speak when problems come and to speak when somebody is saying something that's not righteous. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor this morning that we can be wise, that we can be wise and we can do what is right and what is righteous. We love you. And we give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.